I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I was telling you the other day, Tori's in here. She just whipped up her arms and said, "I have any pit stains." And I'm like, I've never seen any woman really do that. So
it's just
that,
y'all.
It was a first for me. But and Tom did call you out on that, by the way.
Well, because I was feeling a little anxious that day. And that might have been the day. Was that the day I forgot my deodorant?
Might have been. I don't know.
Well, you know what? We need to be thankful and grateful for our body odor and those pit stains. It's
y'all
okay.
Not act thankful.
Because they say, according to scientists, body odor is responsible for man's survival. They claim that most predators avoided feasting on humans because of their body odor back in the, caveman days. We were so stinky back then. It's like that saber-toothed tiger's like, I'm good.
I wonder if this will help in the zombie apocalypse now.
It could be.
You imagine? They're like, oof, never mind.
Now, did they not eat us because we smelled bad or because they considered humans to be scary and our scent scared them off?
They just said they avoid feasting on humans because our body odor was too stinky.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That's odd because, they eat the entrails of the animals they kill.
Did we ask the saber tooth why?
No, we did not do any of that research. Hmm. I'll dig deeper. I'll Google that.
Did he have just one tooth?
That was the southern saber tooth.
Just one that was a saber.
Okay. Well, in the Egyptians, they were like the first to have like flush toilets. And also, they pioneered the field of deodorant because they wanted to smell good. Egyptians were the first to make it popular. And have deodorant in society. They would use cinnamon and also other spices to just rub it underneath their arm when they started getting stinky.
And I actually just read people cracked open some old mummy tombs, and they said they didn't stink.
Oh.
That they smelled kind of woodsy and spicy, but it wasn't bad.
How about that?
Yeah.
So I thought that's kind of interesting. You used to get the spices out of your spice cabinet or whatever. What do you want today, hon?
I'll get take that McCormick steak seasoning. A little bit of garlic, pepper, and salt.
I'm thinking the animals would have eaten us if we did that.
Right.
Antiperspirants are classified as drugs by the FDA.
Huh.
So technically they affect, and they also alter your body's natural function, so that's why they consider them drugs.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Yeah. So
I need to cut back on my deodorant.
Can you imagine being in jail? What you in for? Deodorant.
Yeah, overdosed on D.O.
I was smuggling deodorant in.
Okay. What's that guy doing over there? He's snorting right guard again.
Taking a bite off the stick.
Yes, and the first modern brand of antiperspirant. When do you think it hit drugstores?
1890.
Okay.
1903.
Okay.
2007.
Cato, you nailed it. 1903,
I did not.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, I just made up a number.
1903. Ain't that something?
I didn't even know that.
And he's not even looking off my paper, y'all.
No, I can't read.
But imagine before that, I guess they would put spices and perfume underneath there. It just wouldn't do as good, I'd say. But, when you're talking about your pit stains, I did the research here. Modern antiperspirants can also ruin your clothing. Aluminum chloride, ingredient that blocks glandular openings and prevents sweating, is notorious for turning T-shirts yellow. Or are you having pit stains?
Or it makes them so stiff that your armpit don't even close anymore because it's a bun stiff.
Because you got that big
cob. Part of the shirt's under your arm.
And the dry cleaners try to say that's why your armpits tear when they send them back to you and there's a big hole in it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's because of your deodorant. It's not our fault. And they don't pay you.
Well, and they said that back in the day, they would blame the antiperspirant for actually eating like a hole through that part of their clothes.
I think that's what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
So I guess the dry cleaners are right. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault.
The original formula was acidic. That's what I was reading here. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
That's all right. We're used to it.
Well, anyway, be very thankful you do have deodorant. I did tell you that women have actually, 50% of them have gone back home to get deodorant. But they say about 34% of us have deodorant in our drawers at work. And also, they say 85% of women have deodorant in their purse. So they'll just whip it out at the restaurant at the table and put on some deodorant if they're starting to smell a little bit. So
you don't just do it at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You go to the bathroom or you hide under the table.
Oh, do you? Okay.
But you're not just like, while you're like, hey, server, with your hand up, you're like, while I'm here, let me get this on.
That's funny.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I don't know if men have been aware of this as much as women. I don't know how many men go grocery shopping, but when you do finally go grocery shopping, you realize something is very bad wrong with the economy. Mm. The prices are insane.
Yeah.
The situations are insane. I went to get eggs the other day. Costco had no eggs. None. They had two empty boxes that said eggs, and they had been picked clean.
My mom will call me about once a week. All right, give me the egg prices. So I'm online looking at Lidl and Aldi and Sam's, by the way, out of stock last time I saw it.
Here's what they need to do is like they do the gas station prices just in front of the grocery store, put up the egg prices.
They need an app, that Egg Buddy app. You know, they have the Gas Buddy app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was shocked. I ended up at Publix paying the cheapest eggs they had was $5.49 a dozen. That was the cheapest ones. Mm-hmm. They went up from there. There was another set for $6.09, and there was eggs as high as $8.50 a dozen.
That's crazy.
I mean, you're getting real close to a buck an egg at that point.
I mean, I eat a boiled egg every day. At this rate, I could probably just eat a McMuffin every day and save money.
Yeah, I don't know if you can afford to keep eating the way you're eating. But this is affecting a lot of parts of our lives. For example, they said the annual Tooth Fairy poll found that for the first time in ages, Tooth Fairy payouts have dropped a lot.
Oh, wow.
14% down to $5 a tooth. That's the average now. They say this is the second year in a row that they have fallen. Typically, they had been rising an all-time high of $6.25 a tooth in 2023.
So $5 a tooth? Hold on. 5, 10, 15.
Keep there you going. Go.
I'm going to make some money tonight.
Now, why does Congress get together and figure all this out for the Tooth Fairy?
No, it's just like the stock market. It goes up and down in value based on what's going on.
Okay.
They say Friday is National Tooth Fairy Day. And Delta Dental's annual poll found that this average price had fallen since last year. So basically, what's happening is people are paying, they're getting, the Tooth Fairy is paying less because his groceries are so expensive.
Delta Dental doesn't have any room to talk. My dental went from like $4 a paycheck to $30.
Yeah,
so
they can go up.
They can just stay out of this.
Well, maybe eggs affect them too. I don't know. They say that kids in the South get paid the most, about $5.75 an egg.
That's why there's so much missing teeth out there.
And then the Midwest is just $3.50 a tooth. So they're the ones who are bringing the average down somewhat. I don't know why the Midwest pays so much less for teeth. The Tooth Fairy there is just, I don't know if they're not as good at teeth. Or maybe they're not as many teeth in the Midwest that they're coming out. I don't know. But southern teeth are worth the most. I've noticed that with blood, too. So my buddy in Florida, Sean Tucker, we've talked about him. He is always talking about giving blood in Florida, and he gets like $30 for his blood. And I regularly get the blood connection offering me $75, sometimes more, for my blood.
I'm surprised they pay, because back in the day, they used to not pay. That's why I quit giving that and lying on that exam.
Well, I mean, it's good to do, though. To do just out of the kindness of your heart, just to give blood without getting money for it.
Yeah, and if you give, what is it, marrow? Well, you can make so much money. Yep. I had a girlfriend, she paid for a trip to Dublin. Okay. Just from donating marrow.
Yeah, so. That's a little bit more extreme. But giving blood is a good thing just to do for free for folks, because that's, we need blood.
Don't
blood.
They sell it to the patients
they
who receive it?
They absolutely sell it for hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
That's wrong. It should be given for free. If it's given for free, it should be given
Maybe
for free.
Maybe we should donate eggs, too. That's something we could do for free.
I tried. I was too old.
You are not.
Yes, I am. It's not even a joke. It's serious. They told me I was too old.
I wonder what those eggs go for.
Not much.
That's not interesting.
Mine. I won't pass on the omelets this morning, is all I'm saying.
I'm not even going to eat my boiled egg now.
I'm going to say, Hawk, you're talking about doing it for free.
Yeah.
But like Cato says, they charge for that stuff. There's no reason not to get paid yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to charge any less if they paid for your blood. They're either going to take it in profit or they're going to pass it on.
Do you mean like the hospital bills, or are you talking about if you want this blood to live, give me $100? How does that work?
It goes on your bill at the hospital, but it'll be like blood, $5,000 a pint or whatever they charge for it. And whether you got paid or not, they're charging for that blood.
That's crazy. Watch me in there like siphoning gas.
Well,
yeah. Like you hook this part up to you, I'll hook this to me.
Yeah, you bring a friend who's going to do it for free for you. Like, hey, Charles over here, so he'll do it for free.
Oh, they'd have a corkage fee at the hospital.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, in school, you can't spank the kids anymore, but you can punish them in a, I guess, creative way. And teachers still use this way. It is writing sentences. They do it, they say, as a form of punishment for several reasons: reflection and consequences. Writing sentences can encourage students to reflect on their behavior, and also it does it by repeating the phrase or sentence over and over, and it can help with the cursive writing. Even though we don't use cursive writing as much.
I thought you said curse in writing.
Oh, curse while they're
cursing sentences. Cursing writing.
Now, Tom said that he had an unusual sentence he had to write in school.
I had to write that I would not light paper on fire with a magnifying glass. And actually, if I was being technical, it was, I will not burn ants alive with the magnifying glass.
God. Wow. Okay, that must have been a science class.
I'm surprised there's not a Dateline special about you.
What do you mean?
Jessica, I think I've seen this.
Yeah. Ants are bad. It's okay to burn ants.
And that's where they start, and then it becomes small animals.
I never progressed to like frogs or anything. That would be cruel.
Maybe ants weren't bad until people like you started burning them with magnifying glass. And then they were like, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you.
You're picnic, an idiot. We're going to be there.
When you had to write sentences, did you take two pencils and put them side by side and write two at a time?
Yes.
Okay, I did too.
Do you know what I tried to do one time? You know, in music class, they had the chalk that had the five lines. So they could draw the music.
Do it on the board.
I used to try to put pencils in there.
Oh, wow.
And,
how'd that work?
It did.
That's what I thought.
My son actually had to write sentences when he was a little bit younger. So it was saying the top one was like, I will not talk in class. I will not be disrespectful to the teacher. That's some of the normal ones that you get.
What if we had to do that in the office?
I know, you get in trouble here.
Yeah, I will not get on Facebook while working.
Yeah.
Or you better start practicing.
Mine would be Amazon.
Or maybe you get stopped by a police officer and you have to write like sentences.
I will not speed.
Yeah, I will not speed. Or I will not go this amount of mileage. You know, they'll make the sentence long in this certain zone, then you'd have to turn it in to the judge or the DMV after you were done with it.
I hope the judge, it's a lot easier to get in and out.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, you don't pay a water bill or something, and they say, okay, you know, instead of charging you, we're going to make you write sentences, which you would probably want to actually pay your bills on time at that point.
Yeah, I think they'll just shut it off.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's good enough motivation.
Yeah.
But some other ones were, I will not show off in class, so someone's being a little stinker there.
Well, that's going to ruin show and tell.
Okay. I will not sleep through my education is one that they make the kids write. Another one was, underwear should be worn on the inside, not the outside. What's that kid doing?
I'm going to guess they wore their underwear on the outside.
I know, but why? What were they thinking?
Was it Clark Kent?
Yeah.
It could be. It's like being Superman. Superheroes, they wear their underwear on the outside. Another one, sentence that the kids have to write. A burp is not an answer when a teacher asks a question.
Ew.
You can do it easy with numbers sometimes. I don't have that talent, but I have some friends. Okay.
Oh, God.
What number was that? Can you burp the alphabet?
No, I couldn't even get one out. I think that my egg come back up.
Okay.
Nice.
The cafeteria microwave is not a toy. My son, he complains about the microwave all the time at his school because it's so slow. It takes about 10 minutes for you to heat up in everything, and the kids stand in line at the microwave.
Wow.
Another one is, I will not draw naked pictures in class. Tom.
I didn't have to write sentences that she didn't trust me with a pencil after that. But I did have to talk to my parents and explain why I was drawing anatomically correct nudes.
Okay.
I was trying to convince them I was like Leonardo da Vinci or something, but they thought I was more like Larry Flint.
So that wasn't in health class, I'm
or
guessing.
Art.
It was in fifth grade.
You know, no, in art, that should count if you're drawing those kind of pictures, because you see all the fancy artwork in those museums. A lot of those people don't have clothes on.
Yeah, but I'm sure they didn't start in fifth grade.
Well, yeah.
And mine wasn't art.
Okay.
But what is the line there? Like, up through middle school, don't you do that? And then all of a sudden, high school or college, and they're like, oh, my goodness, beautiful art. Great job.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
It's a great point, Tori. I tried to argue that, but in fifth grade, they don't go for it.
I guess not.
That's not right.
And then finally, an unusual sentence was, I will not call my teacher names. So most of you got caught calling teachers names. And we all had, I mean, I had teachers where we would call them. Sleepy Slatton was one. He would fall asleep in class every day. We called him Sleepy Slatton.
Well, you don't say it to their face.
Yeah.
I had a teacher call me a name.
What they call you?
An insolent.
I think that's more of a description.
Oh, well, it was wrong for a teacher to do that. And the funny thing is I didn't know what that meant. And I told
Sounds
him
like you still don't.
I told him I wasn't a diabetic.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
It is a group therapy Wednesday, and we have a lovely couple on the line. Amber and Chris are with us, and congratulations, you guys are about to have a baby.
Yay!
Yay!
Now, do you know if it's a boy or a girl yet?
We're waiting to see. We kind of wanted to be a surprise.
What Hawk did.
I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm more of the check ahead of time and, do the ultrasound. But Hawk did wait. He wanted to be a surprise.
Yeah, it's like a Christmas present. What a gift. It fits.
Just what I always wanted. Yeah.
So
that's fun.
I had the chance to talk with you guys a little bit. You do have a concerning problem that you wanted us to chat with you about. Go ahead, and who would like to start with this? Amber, maybe you?
Okay. Chris and I, currently have a dog. Well, it was Chris's originally. It's a little Chihuahua.
Uh-huh.
And Chris had him 10 years now. And I love this little dog. And, now, it definitely did not like me at first.
Okay.
Okay.
This dog has a tendency to be kind of aggressive towards, other children.
Ooh.
People it doesn't know, like at first, like I said, him and I did not get along for quite a while. And there was a couple times when I almost got bit. I thought he was,
right.
It was a learning curve.
No, come on.
I think I see where this might be going. Chris, what's your side?
Yeah, I mean, it's my dog, Joey. I would say it's our first kid.
Yeah.
We got a second human kid on the way. He really is just all bark and no bite. He's like, the friendliest dog there is once you get to know him, once he gets to know you. And I mean, I don't even want to say like what has been kind of like hinting at almost, or like, it feels like there's so many options to make this work. I've heard from friends who've already, had pets before the kids, and watch some YouTube videos and read some stuff about, just like how to have a safe space for, a little, an old Chihuahua. Kind of like it'll be like his grandparent almost.
Well, in dog years. So now, wait, you say you don't want to say this, but Amber, what are you thinking here?
I hate to say it too, to be honest with you, but it might come down to, having to maybe give Joey away.
No.
Baby, that's not what I want.
Okay.
I love Joey, but I'm very concerned, I'm like,
well, do you love things you want to give away? Do you give away things you love?
Well, they say if it counts, it comes back, so.
Well, I will say this.
Maybe she don't love Joey.
I understand the mama thing going on here. When it comes to your real child, that's going to win. But I also very much agree with Chris that there's bound to be a way to figure this out. It's just a chihuahua.
Okay, so you want him to get rid of the dog?
Okay, I know that sounds bad. I don't necessarily want... It's not that I'm like, you have to get rid of the dog, but... I if it bites our kid, you know, that's serious. Oh, like, yeah. I don't know. I'm very, very concerned about it. And yes, I know we've talked about options like dog doors and things, but what if it jumps over the door? And
oh, he can't jump. He's a little guy.
Amber, I don't think you sound bad. I think that I don't know that I agree with you, but I don't think you sound bad because I understand how you would feel the way you do. But I do think there might be other solutions.
I've got some for you right now.
Oh,
I've done some research real quick.
Why do I not trust this?
You can do this. They say put some baby oil and baby powder on your hands and play with Joey, the little dog there, and kind of get him familiar with baby smells. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, but then you have to clean all that off.
Well, you do.
What about a doll? What about a little baby doll?
They suggest carrying around a baby doll because Joey might get jealous. And so if you carried around a baby doll holding it, that's another thing you can do.
This is a horrible idea because what happens whenever they see Joey shaking that doll like it's trying to kill it because it's like thinks it's a toy and he's like.
No, they're not going to shake the doll.
The dogs do shake toys
like
that. Well,
you don't give that to the dog yet. You're holding the baby doll like it's a real baby.
Yeah, you're not going to give them the baby, are you?
Yes.
Don't give them the doll.
And then the dog's going to jump up and bite it on the neck.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe once you have the baby, just hold the baby up and let the dog get to know the baby. You know how dogs do? Just the backside.
Oh, my.
Just give him a dirty diaper.
There you go. You can do that. Or they even say play like baby sound effects. And just start playing the baby sound effects around the house, like maybe a baby crying. Or if you don't have those sound effects on your phone, you can cry like a little baby.
I'm going to say no to that one for multiple reasons. One, you're already going to hear enough of that when the time comes. Two, I think the dog might, first of all, I think they'll know the difference in real and fake. Because a lot of times the dogs will actually protect the baby. Now, our dog didn't hate kids to begin with, but he really got to where he protected our kid and surprised us.
Yeah.
Like he would lay there and guard.
I had a sister-in-law, I had a chihuahua, meanest dog I've ever seen. I mean, he would bark and do that hissing like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was just, and like it couldn't really hurt you too much,
you're
but
not
bite
helping.
Your finger. What?
You're telling them that chihuahuas are horrible with kids.
At least they're small, though.
Well, that's true.
I mean, it's not a 60-pound dog.
Okay.
Oh, he's like 10 pounds.
Yeah, he couldn't get more than a finger.
Well,
I'm not heard anybody say adopting the kid out, but I mean, I'm not getting rid of my dog.
Have you considered that, Amber? You just give up, let your grandparents raise the kid.
Y'all are awful.
They were teasing.
Yeah, that's a joke. Listen, this is a serious situation
for
you guys, and what we normally do, if we can't figure it out, we'll take it to everybody listening this morning, because I'm sure this has happened before with somebody.
Yeah, I'm not sure we figured it out.
I think Hawk did have one or two good ideas.
Good.
We did this with our dog. We actually brought home a blanket that had been with our son before we brought our son home so that he had already smelled these smells.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't think like lifting the baby bottom up to the dog's nose?
No, that's another one of your good ideas.
Or maybe borrowing an infant of a friend.
You're going to borrow your kid?
Can we see if our dog will bite a baby or not?
All right. We've stumbled onto a couple of good ideas here. Thanks for sharing your story this morning.
And a couple of bad ones.
Yeah, and just listen up, and we'll see what everybody has to say this morning.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris and Amber have a problem. They're having a baby, and they've got a dog named Joey who's a little chihuahua. Yeah. He's like 10 years old, and they're worried about how he's going to get along with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris is pretty laid back about this. Amber's very, very territorial about worrying about this baby.
Yeah, we gave him some ideas, like what people do. Like you said, take a blanket home from the hospital and let the dog sniff that.
With our kids, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's ways you can get them accustomed to each other.
Play baby noises, stuff like that. I said, you know, put the baby up and let the dog sniff the baby's bottom. Like, get to know him real well.
That's why we're turning to you for help. 800-386-0937. Let us know what you think. B93.7, hello.
I got a solution for the Chihuahua problem.
All right, let's hear it.
Pull its teeth.
That's true. You know what? We had a dog one time that was a biter, and I never did get around to asking the vet, but it seems like you pull their teeth and just give them soft food.
Well, he's 10 years old anyway, so I'm sure Chihuahuas always have dental problems.
Yep.
He might be losing his teeth anyway. I'm just trying to think outside the box. I know all the tree huggers are going to hate it, but hey, man.
It makes sense. You give them soft dog food. They can bite all they want. It doesn't do anything. It's just gumming them.
Yeah. There you go.
I wish I could take credit, but I got the idea from The Walking Dead. So, I mean.
There you go.
All right, man.
Get outside the box. Love you guys.
Love you, too. Thanks for calling. Thanks for being part of the show.
Hawk and Tom, good morning.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
My only suggestion is going to be baby gates.
Just baby gates.
Baby gates all around the house.
That's better than our last suggestion.
Yeah. That's like a government scandal. Baby gates.
Baby gates.
You know what? We still have baby gates in our house long after our kids grew up because it is a good way to keep the dogs from certain areas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good suggestion. Thanks for calling.
Exactly.
What's your name, man?
Alden.
Alden. Alden, man. Thanks for calling with that.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right.
Or at least you could, like, at least keep them until you get, you know, to the dog knows the baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to meet through the gate?
Yeah.
Behind bars.
What you in there for?
A little telephone.
All right, Alden. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Bye-bye. Hawk and Tom, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. Great. You got a solution for us?
I hope so. I've got real expertise. I'm a certified dog trainer for over 10 years. First thing I want to say is Chihuahuas and small dogs are always the worst because they're the most possessive.
Right.
Because they're so small, people love to hold them and coddle them, and they feel like they have to protect their owners, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah.
But an animal is a choice. Okay, you can get pregnant by accident. You don't just get a dog by accident. Regardless of the people with 10 dogs, they're like, no, I swear, they just moved in. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. You chose to keep your dog. You do not just get rid of your family member,
okay,
your animal, your pet that you chose,
yep,
because you're having a baby.
So,
you don't do that.
Yep.
That is wrong.
All amen. Right,
so you're saying you're on Chris's side because he's had the dog for 10 years, and then they got married, and now the baby's on the way. So it's very complicated.
It is not complicated at all.
Exactly.
The dog is there. The dog is family. You don't get rid of the dog. Just because the dog has... What if this baby comes out and bites the dog? You know what
I mean? I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
Now, we had one person suggest baby gates. That's not a bad idea. Separate them until they get to know each other.
All the things that you guys suggested are great. I had a dog myself. I have 3 kids. My sister brought home the baby blankets from the hospital with my baby's actual smell on it and let my dog, like, acclimate. And she ended up carrying around the baby blanket. And she did not give 2 flips about the babies when they came home.
Right.
The only thing, she avoided them at all costs because she's like, I'm not with the little human thing. But all of the baby smells, introducing the baby dog, all those things are really great ideas. And just slowly introduce it. Don't try to shove it into the dog's face. And then just make sure that any time that when the baby is born, when they're near the dog, drop a treat. Because then the dog is going to associate when it sees the baby, a treat happens.
Wow, that's good.
That's smart. Brilliant.
It sounds like that you like dogs more than humans.
For the most part.
Hey, I've been saying it for years. Yeah. Most dogs are better than most people.
Uh-huh.
Well,
definitely.
We love your expertise. You can be our dog expert here on the Hawk and Tom Show from now on. We appreciate you being part of the show.
All right. Love listening to you guys. Thank
love you,
you
too. Take care. Hawk and Tom, good morning.
I got another idea about the Chihuahua.
All right.
I was the one that said pull his teeth.
I recognized you.
Yeah.
This is the best.
Okay.
I am one of those big gerbil plastic balls that you put the gerbils in.
Right.
and just let him free range.
So basically he runs around inside a little bubble.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie.
The chihuahua in a bubble.
That way the tree huggers won't be pissed off. You let him out to go out potty, and he's all safe. Everybody's happy.
You know, in your first call, you said you like to think outside the box. You definitely are probably the most expert person at thinking outside the box I've ever met.
I'm retired, so I got nothing but time on my hands.
I think you should start making these inventions that you're coming up with.
I had another one that was awesome, but I don't think anybody will go for it. You know Jolly Jumpers for babies?
Right.
Make it bigger and put it on a track system in a nursing home, and it's called a Jerry Jumper.
For old people.
Exactly. No more broken hips.
See, now I thought you had in mind, that's good, but I thought you had in mind putting the chihuahua in one of these things where he could just dangle.
You gotta worry about the junk and the tail. That's too much.
That's true. That's true.
Honestly, I don't want to put you two together anymore. Okay?
I think we need to start a company.
No, we're gonna let you go, sir. We love you.
You got it.
All right, man.
H&T Inventions, man.
I'm gonna put you on hold, and we're gonna find out how we can start this company.
All right, man. Love it.
All right, take
care. Have a good one, guys.
You too.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Tori, I want you to imagine this, and everyone can play along, but you're talking with a friend, and they say, yeah, you know, I had to break up with John because he was cheating on me.
Oh.
And you're going to probably be 100% on your friend's side, and you're going to be like, John is a jerk.
I'm going to be like, he did what? Because John is my husband.
John.
Oh, okay.
That's confusing.
This is just John.
Yeah.
You don't need two Johns in friendships.
Call him James or something.
No, it's John. It's little Johnny. It's always John. So here's the thing. You may be surprised to find out what John was doing, and you might not agree that it was cheating. Maybe what your friend thought was cheating isn't something you'd consider cheating. They actually asked people, what is cheating? What counts as cheating? 51% of them said flirting could be cheating.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if flirting counts as cheating or not.
You don't, but some people do.
Yeah, I think so.
What kind of flirting? Is it to get out of a ticket?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of flirting out there. Some of it might just be harmless, laughing at each other's jokes and just getting along.
If I'm flirting so that we both get free drinks, does that still count?
You know, it's odd that that was one they specifically asked about, and a lot of people said that one would be okay.
To flirt to get free stuff?
Yeah, to get like a... They said letting someone buy you a free drink would not be a big deal.
I think it's the intent.
Yes.
You intend to get out of a ticket, intend to get free drinks or food. But when your intent is like, oh, wow, look, then that's...
Wow, kid, okay, that was very descriptive. And you didn't say a word. You were very descriptive.
What do you mean?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like you're thinking you have other intentions.
But that's what I'm saying.
I knew what you were thinking.
So, but
I was thinking about the cheeseburger, though.
Okay.
The free burger I'm getting. I'm just kidding.
All that's cheating, though, really. I mean, you're right about the intent of the heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just kidding. I don't actually think you should do that stuff if you're in a relationship.
Right.
Well, 51% said they might end a relationship over what many would call harmless flirting, especially if they felt the other person tried to hide it. Because then you do wonder what's going on that they feel like they need to hide it. Now, here's a really interesting line. It's apparently okay. 80% said books like 50 Shades of Grey are fair game. That's not cheating to read a book like that.
Oh, that's just silly. It's a book.
But if you were to watch video of that kind of thing, they would consider that to be bad.
Well, the movie's out.
Yeah.
So they would say reading it's okay, watching it not okay.
I've never seen that one. I did see the documentary on Donald Trump, 50 Shades of Orange. Mm-hmm. That was because of his skin's orange. I just thought that'd be fun.
Well, except for that part right around his eyes.
Yeah,
where
I know.
He clearly wears his goggles.
Don't encourage him.
Yes, it's true.
All right, 66. This is basically 2 out of 3 people said they wouldn't care if you danced with someone else.
Mm-mm.
I had a girlfriend once, and I was pretty laid back about the whole like dancing, because a lot of times I would be hosting the whole party at the club, and she didn't have anything to do, so she'd go out and dance. But one night I saw her out dancing, and the way she was dancing did not meet with my approval for what was considered okay dancing. And so I went out and let her know that. And her friends are like, oh, she said it's you didn't mind if she danced. I'm like, I didn't mind if she danced. I mind if she danced like that, you know. And so it was a matter to me of respect. That didn't seem respectful to me.
I think the easiest way to play it is if it's something that would upset you. If your partner did it, you then do not do it.
That's good.
That's a good point. Yeah. But sometimes people are different in those areas.
Well, everybody is like, well, I didn't mean it that way.
Right.
It's a gray area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
Area if you're Donald, right?
But I guess it's interesting, too, to know that if you are going to flirt with someone else, you need to make sure that your partner is not going to be upset by that, because what many people consider harmless flirting is breakup material for others.
I agree. I think it's a discussion you should have as you are dating. I think also social media, like you're following someone a lot on social media and liking every post, and you know, you can flirt that way too.
Mm-hmm. They didn't bring that up on here. That would be a much more complicated thing. Cato, you mentioned the thing about intent. And I think that is true. I also think, though, a respect is a big factor, especially for not just women, but also particularly for guys. If it's something that puts them in a situation where they feel disrespected, like for example, with me in the dancing, the way she was dancing to me, I felt like that's not how someone who's supposed to be my girlfriend should be dancing with another guy. It wasn't the old keep room for the Holy Ghost dancing, you know. It was all that twerk and crap and stuff.
But I think that goes both ways. Why would you even be in a relationship if you have no plans to respect your partner?
Exactly. Just, yeah, I got
you're just
you.
Wasting everybody's
right.
time.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, why didn't you get out there and twerk with her instead of that guy?
I was emceeing the at work in the club that night.
Okay, I missed that part.
No, I would have gladly twerked.
Did you have a microphone? Because you totally could have been like, I can see you.
You know what's funny is I could have gotten on the microphone, but I was, first of all, very angry, and second of all, I didn't want to draw any more attention to it. I just wanted her to get off of the stage and quit dancing, because I was like, I was embarrassed that this is my girlfriend dancing up there.
She was dancing like that on stage?
It was a stage. They had multiple stages all over the place.
Oh, my goodness.
And the pole. You should have seen her on the pole.
No. I was okay with the pole.
Oh, my goodness.
That wasn't disrespectful to me. But, those single days were tough, man.
I would have started a line dance right then and there. I would have been like, Cupid Shuffle, everybody a foot apart.
Yeah. You got the DJ right there to change things up.
I wasn't the DJ. I was the MC.
I'm saying you nudge him and say, hey, you need to play something to kind of break them up there.
Yeah.
How about you play something really stupid like the Hokey Pokey?
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
We know social media has inspired so many ways to kill time now. I mean, you can kill an hour just by looking up something with Google. Before you know it, we've talked about it. You go to Google, you try to find something, and then you've lost an hour.
It might be killing time, but it's not wasting time.
And I don't like the word killing time, because you're using that time to do something that is enjoyable to you as you're doing it.
Well, I feel like I'm killing it.
I don't think it's enjoyable all the time, though. Sometimes don't you look up and you're like, man, I could have been doing something productive here, and I just wasted this hour.
Never.
Well, okay, but you're a little bit more tech savvy, and you honestly live virtually in social media.
Yeah.
You don't live in the real world.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying you're on your cell phone and computer or playing video games all the time, more than anybody else that I know.
You need to get better friends.
We're friends?
I know. I said you need to get better friends.
I don't understand that.
You said you didn't know anyone else who did this.
Oh, you're saying my friends need to be on the internet more. I gotcha.
Anyway, can do it.
They said to name some other things where you lose track of time. So you don't think you lose track of time when you're on the internet?
My goal when I'm on the internet is to try to get through as many hours as I can so I won't be bored.
In reality?
It's like I'm sitting there staring at laying down and taking a nap or doing something productive or getting on the internet and cutting through time. And to me, getting through internet and cutting through time is a beautiful thing.
All right.
Because I am entertained. Am I not entertained? I am.
Okay, top things you do where you lose track of time. Hanging out with friends was mentioned. You know, you're having a good time with your friends, and you just lose track of time. And you say that in the night, where'd the time go? Man, it's been such a blast. Maybe at a restaurant or somewhere, and you're hanging out, laughing, cutting up. You lose track of time.
Well, time flies when you're having fun.
I guess so. That's why they say that. watching or streaming YouTube or like any Netflix, stuff like that, you lose track of time.
Which is no different than what I'm doing.
It's
you're just losing track.
Okay, well.
Not wasting.
But you kind of, I thought you would keep time because you're like, this show's about 48 minutes long without the commercials. Right?
Yeah, but yeah. You still pause it to go to the bathroom and get something to eat.
So it is longer than that.
So you're still watching an hour.
Okay. These are things you do where you lose track of time. Girls sit shopping.
I don't think time is relevant when you're shopping.
Okay. That's what most girls said.
I think actually someone messes with my clocks when I shop. Because like sometimes I'll say, I'm just going to go TJ Maxx. Just one thing. And then it's a couple hours later and I am baffled at how the time just flew.
It's kind of like the reels. Just one reel.
Yeah.
Just one reel. And then you lose track of time. So you're shopping. And how many stores are you losing track of time?
Once you shop, the fun don't stop.
There you go.
See, that's no different than what I do. You just choose a different outlet to try to get that time to go by and be entertained during it.
You don't have to justify, Tom.
I'm not justifying it. I'm explaining that that's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Well,
you can be in our group.
Well, I tell myself that it's good that I'm out socializing, but then I get there and I'm like, oh, it's so people-y.
I was going to say, do you actually socialize when you shop?
No.
Well, you cash out.
That's true.
Well, and they actually play music in there to keep you in there longer, if you didn't notice that. That's a lot of stores do that. That's a technique they use. Also, grocery shopping. People lose track of time grocery shopping. I like to rush my grocery shopping.
Oh, but they move stuff around so much. Because normally I do grocery pickup, but then every now and then I have to go in and I can't find anything.
Well,
I like grocery shopping.
I do too. You know, I grab me a mimosa or a beer and I have a cup holder on my cart and I just go up and down every single aisle.
And that's the thing.
Twice, because I stop back by the bar and get a refill.
Well, and there's two sides and you got to make sure you check the top and the bottom.
Yeah, because you'll see a sale you didn't know.
And that's the thing. What makes shopping at the grocery store so fun is looking for those little tags that say something like new and improved or buy one, get one. And you're like, these are special alerts for more fun.
Well, I realize the more I pay closer attention to shopping, because I'm in and out, used to be, but I'll see clearance, like they're getting rid of the products.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I bought plug-in air fresheners for like $1.
Yeah,
regularly like $7. And I'm like, it's clearance. I would never have known that had I not stopped and got another glass of champagne.
Mm-hmm. I lose track of the convenience stores, those fancy ones that's got all the drink machines and everything. And like, you go in there and it's like, you can waste an hour in there sometimes.
Now, Kato, where do you grocery shop?
Harris Teeter.
See, more stores need to do that, because if you were walking around with a beer grocery shopping, you're going to buy more stuff.
Let me tell you, the bar gets packed. They have a band on Thursday nights.
What do you guys call yourself? The Teeters?
Teeter Tavern is what they call
Teeter
it.
Tavern.
Teeter Tavern.
I know you say you're going shopping at the Teat.
At the Teat. I'll call it the Teat.
Do you have a bouncer there checking cards and stuff?
Oh, Meg. I'm sure she'll kick you out if you become unruly.
All right. Places where people lose track of time. They say the bathroom. Okay. That's not the girls, I don't think. That's the guys staying in there too long, losing track of time.
I don't know. When you're out and she takes her girlfriend in there with her.
Drinking was mentioned.
Really?
Yeah. So you lose track of time, obviously.
I lose weekends.
Okay. That's a lot. And then pumping gas was mentioned.
What?
No, I made that one up. What if you did lose track of time while you're pumping gas, just sitting there and the person behind you is waiting?
Well, they do have those little TV things going now, and sometimes I will get distracted.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. They'll be like, you want to play a game? I do.
And, another thing of losing time is driving to work sometimes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
driving. I get here and like... Mm-hmm. I hope those lights were green.
I will tell you a place where you don't lose time, and that's when you're watching kids or you're babysitting, because you're just looking at the clock at that point. I know you teachers are doing it, too.
That's like church.
What? No,
yeah,
Tom.
Man, you're like 12:01. What is wrong with this guy?
You just said that out loud.
S&S is filling up. I got to go.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.